Spirit to understand that waiting is important. That waiting brings impregnation. That waiting gives you hope. That waiting builds perseverance. That waiting satisfies. That waiting gives you strength. And that waiting renews you. And without understanding that we need to wait upon the Lord, we miss out so much of what He has for us. And so, the word waiting in the Bible is, in the Old Testament, is used more than 200 times. And there's about 20 different words that get used for the concept of waiting. But there's four main ones which get used 169 times, which I want to talk about this morning. And so I just want to reiterate, we don't like to wait, but waiting is not wasting. We don't like to wait, but waiting on the Lord is not wasting. And so let's go and look at some of these concepts of waiting. In the first word that is used a lot of times, it's the word chul. It's, if you want to look it up, it's in Strong's Hebrews 2342. And it's used, I'm going to just teach this morning a bit. All right, so I don't normally use a lot of notes, but this morning I have to because I can't keep all this information in my head. Is the word chul. It's used 58 times. And the concept there is of someone being in distress and wanting to give birth. It's of waiting and being in distress and wanting to give birth. And we see this word first used in Genesis 8 verse 10, when Noah is in the ark. And you know, the flood came. And, well, firstly God warned him and he built the ark. We've got to start at the beginning. Mankind was so debauched and unsavable. So God warned him, said, listen, you're righteous and your family. I want to save you and I want to save the animals. And so two by two, they went into the ark. The Bible says that the Lord came and he closed up the ark and then it started raining. How many days did it rain for? 40 days. How long were they in the ark for? Who knows? Because you kind of like immediately think just 40 days, eh? No, they weren't in the ark just for 40 days. It rained for 40 days. And then they were in the ark for another 150 days on top of the 40 days. Actually, before the 40 days, they were in there for 7 days. And then it only started raining. So imagine this. God like says, get into the ark. He closes you in there. And now the ark hasn't got openings. So I think it got pretty stuffy in there. Imagine all those animal breaths. I mean, it's pretty stuffy in here. Two by two. Elephants and dinosaurs. And maybe they just took the eggs. I don't know. And so they waited. And after 150 days, the Lord remembered Noah and his family and the animals. After 150 days, 5 months, Lord, I am here. Lord, it's been raining a lot. You've destroyed the whole of humanity. It's ek en die diere. It's me and my animals. Lord, we're going to be running out of feed soon. We've got enough water, but we can't access it. And they waited. And after 150 days, God remembered them and he started sending a wind. I've got to check my figures here. My daughter's got hamsters. And she became a hamster breeder. Because unbeknownst to us, we had a male and a female. And it didn't take long. And we had 8 hamsters. And we've got a cat. Who of you know that cats don't like hamsters? Well, they like them too much. And so we've got to keep her door closed. Because if you leave the door open, then the cat comes and he has a nice time and the hamsters don't. And so in the afternoons when she comes back from school, you also have to keep the windows closed because the cats climb through the window to get to the hamsters. In the afternoon when you get back from school, that room is so hot and so stuffy and it just smells like hamster. I don't want to be in that room. I'm telling you, Noah didn't want to be in that ark. He was very happy to be in the ark while it was raining and while the fountains of the deep was exploding and his life was being saved. But I'm telling you, after 150 days, he was wondering, is God still out there? Does God still care about me? Does God still remember me? Is this ever going to stop? I want to say God wants to use waiting to take you out of something. Don't waste your distress. Don't waste the situation that you find yourself in. Because just like Noah, you might be in a very hot, stuffy, uncomfortable place in your life. But this word chul means to hover and to impregnate. God wants to use your distress, whether it be in your marriage, whether it be in your personal life, whether it be in your personality, whether it be with your boss, whether it be at your school, whether it will be with bullying, whether it will be whatever it is. God will use the situation that you find yourself in to impregnate you with what he has for you. And if you short circuit the process of waiting, you end up not being impregnated. So if you're sitting here today and you are feeling barren in the Lord, ask yourself this question. Have you wasted your distress? Because distress comes to all of us, eh? This is not a popular message. Because normally the message of the gospel is, come to Jesus and he will make your life better. No, it doesn't say that. It says that God will work all circumstance to your good, to those who are called according to his plan and purposes. And so don't waste your distress, whether it be financial, whether it be emotional, whether it be in your marriage, whether it be with your children. Wait upon the Lord so that he can impregnate you. We have to wait. That means that when you are in distress and you come into this place and we want to worship, you are so consumed with your fear and your depression and your anxiety with your financial situation. You've just fought with your wife on the way. Yeah, the car windows are cracked because you were screaming at each other. Your children are going deaf because you are having such big fights before you get to church. Don't waste your distress. I'm not saying fight with your wife. I'm saying that in that, the Lord has a plan for you. If you will seek him, if you will wait upon him, he will teach you his ways and your marriage will turn into paradise. Your finances will be blessed. It might mean a lot, it might mean little, but it'll be blessed. It'll be enough. It'll satisfy. So don't waste your distress, because God uses distress to impregnate. Amen. Whoever you are in distress here this morning, hey, you just don't feel good about life. You drag yourself out of bed, you just got you. Raise those hands. It's all right. It's all right. Seek him. Seek the person of Jesus. What's come over you is not unique to you. There's a whole bunch of people that feel exactly the same, battle with exactly the same things that you're battling with. But Jesus will bring you through. Cool. God will impregnate you in your distress. He will find you in the something. Wait in the something. The something is the bad. That he can take you out and impregnate you. The second word is yachul. Yachul. What did I write here? It's Hebrews 3:1-7-6. And it means to wait in hope out of something. So we wait in hope out of something. It is used again in Genesis 8. Genesis 10 says that Noah waited upon the Lord. He waited in distress. And then he sent out the raven. He sent out the bird. And when the dove came back with a twig in his mouth, then he said he waited again upon the Lord. He waited in yachul. Because now the dove came back and there was a twig. And there was a little bit of hope. Maybe this is going to end. God was busy taking him out. And so there was some hope within his heart. It's also used in Psalm 33:18, which says, behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hopefully wait in his steadfast love. Hopefully wait in his steadfast love. As the Lord is taking you out of your distress, you see, you were in your distress. Now he takes you out of your distress. It says that the eye of the Lord is continually on you. He has not forgotten about you. His eye is continually watching you. And it is like Moses and Joshua who went up the mountain to receive the law from God. That's right. That's who he received it from. I had a bit of a mind burp there. You guys know the story. Exodus 34. And so God wanted the whole nation to come up to him. You know that. And then there was thunder and lightning and earthquakes, and it was just terrifying. You see, God is sometimes terrifying. It says here, look, I want to read it again. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who treat him with contempt, who treat him like their buddy, who treat him like a friend. Now, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope in his steadfast love. You see, the balance with fear is love. God is terrifying. God is holy. God is not like us. God is not sinful. And the Bible actually says that God's holiness is so glorious. I want to use strong, but strong is not the right word. It's so glorious that if we had to walk into God's presence, we would die. But what balances the fear of the Lord is that he loves us. And that he cares for us. And he's made a way for us. And so it's so terrifying for the Israelites. They don't want to go up the mountain. You go, Moses. We don't want to die. You can die. Great leadership principle. If you want to be a leader, that's the common response. We don't want to do it, you do it. And so the Bible says in Exodus 34, verse 13 to 17, says Moses takes his aid and they walk up the mountain. And they enter into the cloud that's on top of the mountain of the Lord. And then God comes to them and he gives them a flash drive, and there's the commandments and the statutes, and they go away? No. They wait for 6 days. That means they wait from today in this cloud of fear and lightning. And remember, they're in the old covenant, eh? The priests used to get struck dead. They concentrated themselves on the way up the mountain, but just 6 days is a lot of time to sin, eh? To get something wrong, to think the wrong things. Now, Moses is sitting there with Joshua. They must have been speaking. I'm telling you, they weren't gossiping. Otherwise, so they're sitting there in the terrifying presence for 6 days. I'm telling you, waiting will change you. How many of you have had an encounter with a wild animal like a lion or a great white? I have. I know it's changed Greg. Greg used to love diving. Now he buys magnets. And he's changed his wetsuit. Sorry. Can I get some? Oh, there is water. Is this still Ross's water? It's Ross's water. It's anointed. Repent, obedience, submission. Ross, we're never going to forget you. And then Moses goes in. And Joshua stays behind. No food, no water, no friendship, no fellowship. Just Joshua. Moses is gone, swallowed by the cloud, and I'm here, waiting. And we see the incredible change that happened in Joshua, because I don't know if you guys read later on, but Joshua, later on when they build the tent of meeting and they've got the tabernacle and the altar and all those things, the cloud of the Lord will come and settle upon the place of meeting, and then Moses and Joshua would go in, and then Moses would do the work, you know. Yes, Lord, what do you want to do? What are we feeding the Israelites today? Where are we moving tomorrow? Let's just work out the plan. Let's make sure that everyone gets the information. And then Moses would go off and he would administrate, and then Joshua would stay behind in the presence of the Lord. want to say to you, even if you come into the presence of the Lord and you're fearful or nothing happens, like nothing happened with Joshua for 34 days, something in you changes because you get to know the person of Jesus. You get to recognize his presence when he comes. And if you will seek him, what's the song we were singing? If you will seek him, you will find him and he will show you his ways. So we are not wasting our time when we are lingering in worship. We are not wasting our time when we're sitting in prayer and there's silence. How many of you like silence? Okay, let me ask a different question. How many of you are introverts? How many of you like silence? The same people, eh? How many of you are extroverts? You hate silence. Like you're traveling in the car and you just don't stop speaking. You're doing a speech and you think like you're going to say three words and then 20 minutes later it's still going on. You see, for those of you that like speaking and like being active, silence is almost like a, oh, no, let's stay away from that. That's uncomfortable. But it's in the silence of the Lord that we change. And so can I ask us as a leader now, let's become comfortable with silence. Don't disengage. Don't start thinking about your work, about your chicken in the oven, about what you're going to do on Wednesday and the golf you're going to be playing and the fish you're going to be catching, and engage with the Lord in those moments of silence. Because just now, just maybe, you find him and your life has changed forever. Yahoo. Yes, 34 days by yourself in a thunderstorm with God. I don't know. I don't know if I'll make it. I suppose we will, eh? Sorry, I'm thinking out loud. Okay. The next word is shaka. Hebrews 2:4:4:2, Strong's. And it means to focus intently. It's the word used, the very next word in the Strong's Concordance is shaka with a different vowel, which means it's like a hook. It's to catch an animal. It means to ambush. It means to wait expectantly. It's like when you go fishing and you put your line in the water and you're an actual fisherman and you don't just go to drink while you fish. It's that expectancy that you feel for the catch to come. So you're waiting with a hopeful expectancy in the Lord. Sometimes what will happen to us is we will get distracted while we are waiting. So I had the privilege of going to Disneyland when I was about, I was at varsity, I suppose 21-ish. So we went to Disneyland, and there's some of those rides, it's like, it's amazing. I mean, Disneyland is not for children, it's for adults. I mean, you get in these lifts and they fall down, and you think you're going to die, and it's incredible. I mean, you're watching, like, remember Honey, I Shrunk the Kids? Well, I don't think they have that ride anymore, but in that ride, you've got 3D glasses, and the dog comes, he sneezes, and there's actually like spit. It's probably not spit, it's probably water that hits you in the face. And then the mice come running, and then there's these things that hit your feet, so you feel like, it's incredible. But because it's so incredible, like, there's stacks of people that want to go there. And so sometimes you'll wait in a line, you'll wait in a queue for an hour and a half to do a ride. But they are so clever. They distract you at every corner. There's someone singing and there's something on a TV here and there's something that an hour and a half feels like a few minutes. Keep your focus. Keep your focus. Because the world will come and distract you. You see, God is not into pyrotechnics and smoke and lights. There's a working out of our salvation that needs to happen. And when we wait upon the Lord and we focus upon him, watch out that we don't get distracted. That we don't stand in the line at Disney World wanting to be entertained, but that we wait patiently upon him, expecting that when he comes, that we will be rewarded. So wait upon the Lord. Don't be distracted. And then the last one. I've got an illustration here just of how distracted we do get. I'm in there now. No, I'll skip it. The next word. I'm way too distracted. Okay, the next and the last word is kava. It's Hebrews Strong's 6960, and it is a longing for someone. It is a longing for someone. And it's used in Isaiah 40 verse 3. Donovan read it this morning. Can I have that on the board, please? But those who wait, not hope, wait. Those who wait in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar up on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. But those who kava upon the Lord, it means to have an intertwining of a rope. And I want to say that if you do all these things, if you wait upon the Lord in your distress, if you hope upon the Lord as he's taking you out of your distress, if you wait upon the Lord in, what was the last one? In the focusing upon him, not being distracted, there's an intertwining that takes place between your spirit and the Lord's spirit, and it's like you become one. And you, when you wait upon him like that, you will renew your strength, and you will soar upon on wings like eagles, and that you will run, and you will not grow weary. And so I want to say to us, who wants strength? Who wants power? Who wants to be impregnated with the Lord? Who wants to not be distracted? Who wants to not be in distress? Who wants to get out of distress and not stuck in sin? And me. But we cannot do it if we do not wait. If you don't wait upon him, it will not happen. And so the thermometer that you can stick in your head or your mouth, or like they do with children. Don't use that thermometer. Stick it inside yourself now. And I want to say, if you feel barren, if you feel hopeless, if you feel distracted and unfocused, if you feel like you have no strength and it's not renewed within you, if you don't feel impregnated, let's make the diagnosis. What's wrong with you? You're not waiting. It's as simple as that. My prayer for you is not going to fix it. The person next to you's prayers is not going to fix it. The Holy Spirit anointing and falling in this place and us floating and getting stuck through the roof is not going to fix it. You praying for someone and them standing up from the dead is not going to fix it. If the angel Gabriel appears to you tonight and gives you revelation from the Lord, it's not going to fix it. The only thing that will fix it is if you and me wait upon the Lord. Then our strength will be renewed. Then we will have power. And his name will be glorified. And that, my friends, is the type of church that I want to be. Hey? And so let's wait. Let's not follow the ways of the world and think waiting is a waste of our time, thinking that we're going to be easily satisfied. No, there's something here. Everything that is worth it costs a price, right? I mean, you can buy the fake Rolex in Mar Street in some stores, but it's not the real thing. You know, when you take it and you feel the real thing, it's weighty and it's different. It's authentic. And that's what God's calling us to be. He's not calling us to be the cheap knockoff. He's calling us to be the authentic thing. And that authenticity will grow and rise within us as we wait upon the Lord. Amen. If you want that with me, because it's going to cost you, eh? It's going to cost you your time. It's probably going to cost you your money. It's going to cost you to throw your life into this thing. It's going to cost you to get up in the morning when you don't feel like it. It's going to cost you to push through in worship when it feels like God's living in China and we just, yeah. It's going to cost you. But I want it. I want it. With everything in me, I want it. I want to be the church that presents the glory of the Lord, the weightiness, the kabot of the Lord to this world. I want to be the real thing. We're not always the real thing. I don't want to play church. I want to be church. And if you want to be that with me, then I want to ask that you stand with me this morning. Let's close our eyes.